When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bag huge savings on your painting project in Menards. With over 100 years of paint experience, Dutch Boy is the perfect choice for your painting projects. Give your space the platinum treatment with Platinum Plus Interior Paint. It's a premium paint and primer in one with amazing stain resistance that gives your space a long-lasting finish. Check out Mapped Blue, Dutch Boy's color of the year. Plus, get 15% off everything you can fit in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Henry's Happy New Year. This is News Talk.
And you're very welcome to Henry's Happy New Year. We're here for the next 2 hours bringing you some New Year good cheer. I'm Henry McKean and I just want to say Happy New Year. And we're going to be looking at what to watch out for over the next 12 months in 2025. We're going to be looking at movies, gigs, sport, getting fit, going on forest walks, a little bit of everything, to be honest with you. But for me, if we go back to 2024, or 24, do people say back in 24 yet? I'm not sure. It was Cillian Murphy winning an Oscar in LA. I managed to get through to him, you know, from an LA pool bar. This is what happened.
Apologies, we have one final question. It's virtual, if you can look at the camera.
Oh, I see, okay.
News Talk Irish Radio.
Oh, I see, okay.
Hi, Cillian. Henry McKean here from News Talk Radio Ireland, coming from a pool top bar celebrating you. Congratulations.
Good for you.
I just wanted to ask you, are you going to sing a rebel song? And how does it feel to be the first Irish-born man to win Best Actor?
Well, it's really, really meaningful to me, and I don't know if I said this in my speech because I can't remember what I said, but I did want to say, you know, that I think in Ireland, you know, we're really great at supporting artists, and I think we need to continue to support artists and the next generation of actor and director. I think that's vitally important. That's all I have to say, really.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Congratulations.
That really was, for me, one of my moments of 2024. Even though I wasn't in the room with Cillian Murphy winning his Oscar, I was nearby in a hotel across the road. And with technology, I managed to get through to him. That was some crack. Also, a highlight for the year for me was Gerard Hutch, or the Monk, running for election. I was doing this slot called Henry's Front Bench, and I kind of just bumped into him on the campaign trail. Take a listen.
And I know this is a personal question. Any regrets if you did it all again?
Yeah, maybe I should have ran for politician when I was 20.
So you should have done it?
Yeah, years ago.
And could you have found an easier way of making a life for yourself?
I don't know. I'm coming out of semi-retirement to do this for the people. I could just chill out and not do it, but they're pushing me into it and I'm going to give it a try.
Another moment I would have preferred not to have happened was getting pepper sprayed by mistake. I was too close to the Gardavan during the Coolock Says No protests last summer.
It's going on all over the country and people aren't the government are just not listening. We're sick of undocumented people coming into our country. I have a young daughter. I don't feel it's a safe environment for her now. I also have elderly parents who live just around the corner that I'm also concerned for. And I don't agree with rowdiness, I don't agree, but I think we have a right just to protest peacefully. But it's not right what the government are allowing happen to the country.
So at the moment the guards are trying to get through their van and it's been blocked by protesters. They're slowly moving around. Nope, they've blocked the van. Madam, thank you. They've blocked the van and I'm not letting the van through. This could really escalate. Well, here we go. People are now running. They're running. This is not good. So the pepper spray has been sprayed. I can feel it in my eyes. I'm back a bit, but people are in pain. The pepper spray is not good. This is not looking good for society, for community relations. Oh, sorry, just a bit of pepper spray there. Ooh, I feel like I've had something spicy. Hot Chinese. Not good, not good. The guards have lost control, but are trying to regain control here in Coolock.
Yeah, I'm still coughing from that moment at the Coolock Says No protest last summer. Just some of my memories of 2024. Now, wherever you are in the country, I hope you're having a brilliant time. Perhaps you're listening in abroad on a different time zone. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I'm actually here to talk about 2025. What to watch out for? What's big in 2025? What do we need to keep an eye on? The years just get away from me. They really do. I can't believe it's 2025. Or what happened? The millennium was 25 years ago. Could you believe it? But, you know, and technology just keeps on moving. And our next guests, we're going to be talking about drones. And I'm joined by Bobby Healy from Manor Drones. You're very welcome and Happy New Year.
Thanks for having me, Henry. And Happy New Year to you and to everybody else.
Ah, well, it's great that you made the effort to come here on New Year's Day. I came out to you not that long ago. I was out in your Blanchardstown Centre, which was fantastic, right there in the heart of that big, massive metropolis. I can't believe I just called
the Blanche.
But it is. It's a big population.
The people of Dublin 15 would be delighted.
So what is it, like 150,000 people squeezed in there or something?
Yes, 150,000 people, 43,000 air codes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. We're going to talk a little bit about drones, and you've got this new pilot project, and you're using drones to bring life-saving cardiac equipment to patients, which I think is fantastic. Tell us about this. Tell us about this project.
Yeah, so we've been thinking about this for quite some time, and the advantage we have, obviously, we fly in a straight line. We fly 85 kilometres an hour as the crow flies, so we can get anywhere in Dublin 15 in less than 3 minutes. And when you think about a cardiac patient, someone that's had a heart attack, some kind of problem, getting a defibrillator, for every minute delay in getting that defibrillator, it's a 10% increase in likelihood of death. Mm-hmm. So for every minute we can save, we increase the chances of survival. The professor who was there for a demo a few weeks ago, you know, said that it, if you roll this service out for all of Ireland, it would save, based on simple data, 900 lives a year, simply on the time we would save getting those defibrillators into the hands of people that could use them. So it's an obvious win for us.
I mean, it's the quickest form of transport to get life-saving equipment to somebody, whatever that life-saving equipment might be. And, you know, as I said, I've been out to that landing pad in Blanchardstown, and I know you... I described at the time that they're about the same size, the drones are about the same size as a Labrador, which is probably not the best,
a
Golden Retriever, the best comparison. I'm sure no one else has described them like that except me.
That's the way
me.
I describe them.
Oh, you do?
Seagull. If you see
a seagull.
If you see them at cruise altitude, it's kind of the height of a seagull would normally, and it's actually the same wingspan as a seagull. But yeah, a Golden Retriever is another way. But they're big, so they carry a lot. And more importantly, they'll carry... We obviously do take away food and groceries and pharmacy, all those types of things, but they also can be used for, you know, really strong societally beneficial things like defibrillators, EpiPens, blood delivery, you know, vaccines, all sorts of stuff. So we're just at the start of that rollout, and we're going to roll out to all of Dublin this year.
You're going to roll out 2025?
Literally
everyone.
All of Dublin in 2025.
Wow.
We'll have in the first 6 months of 2025. And that means everywhere we go, we will also have these other beneficial services. So defibrillator delivery in all of suburban Dublin, 3 minute delivery anywhere in suburban.
Well, this is and Dublin isn't that big. You can really get around it. I remember flying around Dublin in basically a military jet. It was for a work thing.
Not to be name dropping or anything, but there I was in my jet flying around.
You can literally get around Dublin in seconds in these supersonic jets. It was a work thing. I wasn't just doing it for fun. So like that with drones, they really can make a difference.
Oh, yeah.
And let's say, I know you were operating in Balbriggan I didn't get a chance to order a coffee from you or something, or fast food, or even slow food, or whatever it might be, like sourdough, whatever it was. I haven't, but I've seen it in action. You can get an item, whenever I'm hungry, even thinking about it, an item, you know, within minutes from the moment it's ordered to you. None of this carry on like a van. They promise 24-hour delivery these days, or 48 hours. Yep. You're 3, 4, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So that is such a change. And we are talking about what to watch out for in 2025. I think drones is going to be one of them. And obviously you think that too. It's changing. It keeps changing. It's a new technology. It's a new industry. And we're all finding our way. And every day you're learning new things too, aren't you, Bobby?
Yeah, we are. I mean, the way people use the service, you have families on a Sunday that are, you know, typically with food delivery, family on a Sunday wouldn't use food delivery because can't keep everything happy, right? Dad and mom want this. And
well, I still use Tesco. I use Tesco.
Yeah, the ready meal.
No, as in they like food delivery, but they want what do they call when they bring it to your house in the van? Anyway, I use them.
Yeah. And drop chef.
You've got to give 48 hours notice.
Yeah, but what we see is, I mean, people adopt the service. If you can order anything you want and have it arrive in 3 minutes in your back garden, it's cool, obviously, it's cool. But once cool goes away and just practical benefits come in, people order in very strange ways. So we'll see families, you know, two or three kids and parents, and they'll order from three different restaurants at the same time.
Yes.
And they'll get three different aircraft arriving in their back garden with a Chinese and Indian and burgers and fries.
Three different aircraft.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so they adopt very quickly and they realise they can do these things. They learn these tricks. And we have customers in Dublin 15 have already done over 100 deliveries in just the 6 months we've been live. So it's not because they want to eat more or buy more. It's just because, look, this is a better way to get stuff than getting in your car. If you know the traffic in Dublin 15 or a lot of Dublin suburbs.
Anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday evenings.
Even Tuesdays now. I hate Tuesdays.
Like, it's gridlock. Like, it's gridlock. So if you're, you know, some of the journeys in Dublin 15, they'll take half an hour from Blanchardstown Shopping Centre just to get to the house, or 20 minutes in, you know, moderate traffic. And we're doing it in 3 minutes. So people will use that rather than getting into their car and doing the same journey. So for small things like small grocery items, small pharmacy items, and more popularly coffee, ice cream, takeaway food, they'd be crazy to get into their car to get it.
And do you think, Bobby, the drones are here to stay? They're going to be a part of our life. We're going to have a traffic jam in the sky, like they said in the science, you know, future
in the
movie,
Paw Patrol
science fiction
episode.
In the Paw Patrol episode. The future is now. Drones is like where we are now in News Talk headquarters. If we wanted to, I could have a life-saving EpiPen dropped onto the roof of News Talk HQ here, or perhaps a Big Mac. You know, it could be something that's really, really needed, or it could be something that my belly might need right now.
Yeah, I mean, the other way to look at it is I prefer to look at it upside down and kind of think, obviously we think about the consumer, but think about the small business. You think about like Kahuna Pops is this.
Yes, I met them.
I mean, I love that example because it's a small Irish business based in Dublin, started during COVID with you know, two people that couldn't work, very tough, right? So they created this business to create their own ice lollies, the traditional way. Mm-hmm. I'm old enough to remember what ice lollies used to be like. And they create a little business and they have distribution. They put fridges in a handful of places. But now, you know, in 6 months' time, they're going to be getting the 1.2 million Dublin residents through our service. So it's about
so on a hot, sunny day, you can get lollipops delivered to your back garden sunbathing.
From an small Irish business.
Wow.
Exactly. And it's a 3-minute flight anywhere. So we'll power those types of businesses. If you look at Musashi in Blanchardstown or any of the small restaurants, those small businesses that we power, suddenly they've gone from waiting for people to walk up or walk past them feeling hungry and go in to being available to 150,000 people in Dublin 15 with a 3-minute flight. That transforms those businesses. So I think of it business first and then afterwards the rest of it.
Yeah, because as you mentioned, it really will change everything once these just get rolled out.
Yeah.
What do you think will happen in the future? What will the future look like? It's 2025 now. What will it look like in 2035? Will they just be as common as getting a Amazon delivery to your home? Will it be that common?
I think it'll actually, to a large extent, it'll replace a lot of Amazon
deliveries
because it'll create opportunities for the local hardware store to sell their stuff.
So you'll be able to keep it local, really.
Exactly. Mm. I mean, like when we were in Oranmore, we powered a local bookshop. We spoke with a local hardware store. And that local bookshop could get products to their customers faster than Amazon will ever be able to.
Oh, absolutely.
So if you think about it, it's called fragmentation of logistics. In other words, we're putting logistics or delivery into every suburban community, which suddenly means that local hardware store that today is be closing down, the local bookstore that today would be closing down, we create an opportunity for them to say, look, if customers know that bookstore or that hardware store, that butcher's or whatever you want to call it, if they know that they're there in the community, they're going to prefer to get the product in 10 minutes rather than half a day with Amazon or the day after. So I think the future is more democratization of logistics that only the big guys can do, so Amazon, DHL, UPS and so on. And by making logistics ubiquitous and owned by the suburb or the community, those local businesses will have a far better product than big international tech businesses. So the future is, I think, suburban living where you have instant access to anything that you need. You can avoid all those, you know, road journeys that you would otherwise use to get them. And you can certainly avoid going to amazon.co.uk to order your screwdriver when we can get it to you in 3 minutes. So I think...
And what's your website again?
Mana.aero.
So if I went online now, I know it's New Year's Day, so I'm not sure if everything is open, but let's just say it was not New Year's Day. I could order some lunch, some dinner, and it could come to my house.
Yeah, or your kids have a fever, or better still, you didn't get batteries for that toy that you bought on Christmas
Day. Oh, you do batteries as well?
Of course we do.
I'm always out of batteries.
It's a very high-margin product.
In radio when I'm out there in the streets. I'm no batteries.
Like, let's say it's at night and your child has a fever and you don't have any Calpol in the house, we can get you Calpol in a few minutes. You don't have to get in your car 20 minutes looking for
So everything, even adult painkillers,
of course,
anything.
Everything you need.
Unbelievable. Well, you are one to watch. Well, we've been watching you. We're going to continue to watch you.
I look forward to being watched more.
Bobby Healy, thank you so much for joining Henry's Happy New Year and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Henry's Happy New Year on News Talk. Henry's Happy New Year. This is News Talk.
And you're very welcome back to another edition of Henry's Happy New Year. We were here, believe it or not, last year, and hopefully we'll be joining you again next year. Wherever you're listening, Happy New Year. And we're now joined by Pat Neville from Quiltshire. We're going to talk about forest walks across the nation. Like so many of us, we've been sitting around, we've been watching TV, we've been eating everything. And you've come up with a few suggestions to take some lovely forest walks. Pat, Happy New Year. Thank you so much for joining us.
Henry, many happy returns to you too. Thanks a million for having me on. And yeah, it's a great time to get your boots on and get out and about. Used to be after Christmas, we all sat down and watched James Bond, but now we've been binging on all these streaming services that we love.
Yep.
All the family are home, so it's great to get together and get out, get away from the screen time and maybe get some green time, if that's not
I love
important.
That, green time. And we're going to start in Kildare. We're doing all the provinces, but we're going to be starting in Leinster. Tell us about a forest park in Kildare.
And there's a lovely forest park in County Kildare called Donaghadee Forest Park. Some of your listeners may know it already. It's a fantastic place to go with all the family. There's great car parking facilities there, which is nice. There's a lovely coffee shop. There's a fantastic lake there with lovely ducks in it. So when you arrive, there's also an all-access trail. So if you've been in a wheelchair or you're pushing a pram or a buggy, there's a totally flat surface you can get around. So it's accessible. It's fun for all the family to go and visit as well.
That sounds fantastic. And you've got lots going on there with lots of different trails and walks, and you mentioned ducks. Everybody wants to see ducks at this time of the year.
Yeah, it's nice to get out and feed the ducks and see the wildlife. And that's one of the lovely things about visiting forests. We all know that if you take a walk, you feel better for it. It's good for your physical health. But there's really good evidence to suggest that a walk in a forest, spending time reconnecting with nature, not just good for our physical health, but it's good for our mental health and well-being. So we feel better after a walk in the forest.
It's so true. With nature. You know, if you're around trees, lots of trees, it does lift your spirits.
It does indeed. There's a bit of science behind it. So trees produce these chemicals to protect themselves from fungi and insects.
Yes.
Feronicides, I think they might be called. We breathe them in and it has a kind of same effect on us. It boosts our immune system. So even without knowing it, breathing that lovely clean air that trees produce. We know that trees absorb carbon dioxide,
yes,
the main gas responsible for climate change, but they suck that in, turn it into wood. But as a byproduct, they produce clean oxygen, O2. So the purest air you can breathe is underneath a tree. So get in, hug a tree and breathe deeply.
And that's why forest walks are so fantastic. My friend is just back from India, and no offense to India, their air quality isn't great. And it turns out your Apple phone can tell you what your air quality is like.
Yeah.
And here in Ireland, believe it or not, we have good, very good air quality compared to somewhere like India,
for sure,
where you can breathe the air, you can taste the air, you can eat the air.
Yeah.
And because it has so much horrible toxins in it, we're lucky in most parts, even in the built-up areas, we've got pretty good air.
We have really good air quality in Ireland, and particularly on the west coast of Ireland. We've got the whole Atlantic reach coming in. You've got that lovely seaweed,
yes,
brown seaweed, breaks open, gives that lovely iodine into your air as well. So we've some of the best and freshest air in Ireland. We have some of the best conditions in the world for growing trees as well. So that reconnection with nature is really important. When we're amongst the trees, obviously, if you can, turn your phone off, give yourself a break from the screen.
I'm doing that. I know it's New Year's Day, but I'm going to switch off my phone. I know friends and family will be trying to wish me a Happy New Year today, or maybe they already have. Well, they have. Many of them have. Just switch the damn thing off.
Exactly.
Go back to the landline.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so nice to do that. And as well, when you get out in this cold, crisp weather and the frozen leaves are crunching underneath your feet, the leaves are off the trees. So you'll see a bit further into the wood. You might see a robin or something following along. You can have fun with the kids. You can play a few games, find the stick that most looks like a walking stick, or see who spots the first robin. And when it's done, you can have that guilt-free hot chocolate you've been waiting for. You can come back somewhere warm.
Yep.
You can wrap up. You can come by the fire and have a lovely hot chocolate or a nice coffee, and you've really earned it.
And maybe put the screen back on if you're that desperate.
yeah, afterwards.
And on that, I mean, we're now going to move on to an abbey in Wexford. And this one is linked to one that I visited in Wales, but I haven't been to the one in Wexford.
Oh, Tintern Abbey, fantastic forest to visit. So there's wonderful facilities there. There's nice loos in the forest there. There's a
lovely... You can't beat a good loo.
I know, it's handy when you're out.
Oh, I tell you, you've sold it.
If you want to spend a penny. There's a really nice coffee van there as well. They do fantastic coffee. There's lovely trails around Tintern as well.
Mm.
It's a real historic feel to the place. You'll see the abbey and the walls there. But the local community have done a fantastic job with Quilter there, developing the trails. So there's trails, again, for all abilities and all ages. Again, an access for all trails. It's really easy to push the pram, or if you have people in a wheelchair, bring them along. It's a really, really nice day out. There's a lovely mixture of conifer and broadleaf trees there in Tintern.
Beautiful.
Lovely walk down by the river. If you're brave enough, you can take your shoes off and they have that pebbly walk and walk on your bare feet through the stream and back on again. Only if you're brave enough on New Year's Day. It's
so barefoot,
risk,
you know, in the kind of stones in the water.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, there's that kind of Swedish massage for your feet thing going on.
Oh, wow.
If you're brave enough to try it. But I've done it and I highly recommend it.
And it's free.
Oh, it's all free.
It's
absolutely
all free.
Free, yeah.
Except
you've
got to get there. You might be living near Wexford.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And we're now going to move on to Ulster. And I know this one, it's Ards Forest Park, County Donegal. This is terrible to admit. I look at it from Downing's and everyone says, you've got to visit. You've got to go to Ards Forest Park, County Donegal. And I still haven't. And I didn't realise how big it is. It's 1,200 acres. That is massive. That is basically like the whole of Dublin city centre.
It's trees by the seas, if you like, in Ards Forest Park.
Mm.
And it's really, really nice. So you have a beautiful planting of Corsican pine on sand dunes and some lovely walks to go through it. So you'll see lovely salt marsh open habitat. And then as you walk further across the dunes, you'll come into these old Corsican pines. So it's a really wonderful kind of unique atmosphere to go to. Some carvings you can see along the way to kind of make your walk more interesting too. So it's a fantastic walk. We don't often associate big trees right by the sea.
No.
And you're right, if you stand at Downing's and look across,
yes,
you have a fabulous view.
Oh, it's
so
beautiful.
So next time, take the spin up through Creasla and pop into
just 25 minutes.
And, exactly.
And I didn't realise this either. 6 hours of forest tracks and trails. So for the hardcore walker, they're not going to get bored.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. And as you walk between the open habitat of the salt marsh and you have that beautiful Atlantic air coming in and then under the trees, it's really, really beautiful walk. It's really nice for all the family as well.
And can I say this? I've been across Ireland many a times over. Donegal is my favourite county. I just think it's so windswept.
Yeah, it's windswept and interesting. As the
it's goes. Absolutely fantastic. You know, it reminds me, and this is coming from a good place, it reminds me of there was an Irish edition of Mad Max. It's something just wild about Donegal, which I love.
Yeah, and there's so many beautiful forests to visit. If you're in Stranorlar Ballybuffet. You've got Drumbo Forest, which is right there as well. There's a beautiful forest in the northwest called the Bonnie Glen as well, which is a fantastic place to visit. So no shortage of really wonderful forests to visit in Donegal. And as you say, Henry, they all have the kind of wildness about them.
Oh, maybe so
it's in the
unspoiled.
Air, or maybe it's the atmosphere, or maybe it's that warm Donegal welcome that's waiting for you when you come out of the forest.
And you know, and the thing is, Donegal is there for all of us to love. It's not forgotten. Get up to Donegal, wherever you are.
Absolutely.
Or perhaps you're in Donegal already. What a beautiful county. We're now going to go to Sligo.
Yeah, Sligo. So if you're in Sligo town, there is a wonderful forest on your doorstep called Hazelwood Forest. So it's a really old forest. It's an alluvial forest, which are quite rare now in Europe. So an alluvial forest is a forest that has a unique relationship with the river. So the river floods into the forest at certain times and then slowly floods back. So there's certain kinds of plants and animals that rely on that flooding and wait for it to happen. So across Europe and across Ireland, a lot of those old alluvial forests have been built up and that relationship doesn't happen. But it still does in Sligo. So one of the rarest woodland types in Europe is sitting right on your doorstep in Hazelwood.
And I understand it's EU protected.
Yeah, so it's an SAC, a special area of conservation. So Quilty have done some work to remove invasive species like rhododendron that can move through the canopy. They've been taken out. Mm. We've done some nice work ring barking some trees to kind of kill them standing, and it makes a lovely habitat for birds of prey. As the tree slowly dies, you get insects and things that come to eat the dead wood. Then you get birds that come and eat those insects. So you're creating a new food web in the forest.
So it's just a really unique habitat.
Really unique, really unusual, really rare, and a lovely place to walk. There's a lovely lakeside walk all around. The river there is the Garavogue River, so you can walk along by the river and around by the lake, and it's a fantastic walk.
And that's Hazelwood Forest, Hazelwood. County Sligo. Mm. That just sounds beautiful. And we're now going to move on to Connacht. We're going to go to Mayo.
Oh, yeah. So the lovely, really nice forest. Again, a beautiful forest right on the Galway-Mayo border called Clonburr. It's about 300 hectares, which is about 600 acres in old money. And it's a fantastic walk from Clonburr Forest right back into the village of Cong. So if you're interested in your cultural history, there's beautiful follies and archways along this walk. You go under the road through a tunnel at one point.
I think I might
again.
Have done that. It's right. It's just right beside the town or the village.
It is.
It links. Yeah, I've been there. It is beautiful.
Absolutely fantastic.
And obviously they've set movies there for obvious reasons.
They have
it's
indeed,
so gorgeous.
Yeah. And in the middle of the forest, again, another really unusual habitat for Ireland, you've got forests associated with limestone pavement. So you have this wonderful limestone, like you find in the Burren, but it's right up here in Clonburr Forest as well, on the shores of Loch Mask there as well in Loch Carra. So you get really rare plants that live there, and you get some of the rarest species in Ireland. The lesser horseshoe bat lives in Clonburr Forest. It's the one bat in Ireland that we have that hangs upside down, kind of like Dracula.
Oh, beautiful.
And wraps its wings around.
And what's the name of that bat again?
Lesser horseshoe bat.
Lesser horseshoe bat.
Yeah.
And when can you see the bat? When will it be there?
They'll be asleep this time of the year. So there's lovely places like Clonburr Castle.
Okay.
And we know that they have a winter roost in there in a cave. So they spend the winter hibernating. So about the end of March, start of April, once the insect, they eat little bugs that fly through the forest. So once the midges start to bite you in April, May, you'll know that the bats are coming out and doing a great job for us, eating all those little pests that like to bite us.
That is amazing. And it's not just The Quiet Man. There's lots of movies obviously made around there for obvious reasons, because it's just so beautiful. We're now going to move on to Galway.
Galway, there's a couple of lovely forests that you can find in Galway. Obviously, we're talking about forests around the country as well, but urban forests, if you can't get to the countryside, Terryland Park is beautiful in Galway. If you're in Dublin, the Phoenix Park is a great place to visit. So you don't have to go up the hills, it doesn't have to be an expedition. Just get out and get among the trees. In Galway, there's a couple of really nice forests. Just south of Galway, Kilcornan, just at Claren Bridge, is really, really nice. There's two beautiful forests. There's one called Castle Taylor, and there's one called Addie Slaney, locally called Bunna Kippon. And again, really old forest, really old growth. The last time I was in Addie Slaney, when I parked at the mouth of the forest, a stoat popped his head up between the limestone.
A stoat?
A stoat, yeah. Really unusual animal. You don't see them every day.
No.
Popped his head up, kind of took a look at me. I took a look at him, stared at one another for a few seconds, and he scampered off into the forest. So a great place to see animals like stoat. A real hotspot for pine marten as well. That's another, it's kind of like a bigger stoat. The Irish for pine marten is Cat Crean.
Yes.
The cat of the trees. So it looks like a cat, and you'll see
that's
it.
That's what it translates as.
Exactly, exactly. Really great places to visit.
It's a really unique wildlife. Isn't that absolutely fantastic?
Yeah, and you have a chance to see them right on your doorstep. So if you walk along, every so often just be quiet, have a listen. again in the winter, it's a good time to see them because the leaves are off the trees, have a good smell, have a good listen. Some of these animals like to mark their territory with scats, which is a scientific name for poo. So they'll poo somewhere really prominently and you'll see it and go, what's made that? And there could be an animal just peeking out at you from the bushes. So have a close listen and keep a sharp eye out and you never know what you'll see.
Wow. And we're going to move on now to Munster. What does a Munster have to offer when it comes to beautiful Quiltshire forests and walks on New Year's Day?
So for New Year's Day, if you're in Munster and in the city of Limerick, about 15 minutes out the road is the wonderful Curra Chase Forest Park. And again, this is a fabulous place to go and visit. It is, again, suitable for all the family. There's a wonderful access for all trail. So bring the pram, bring the kids. It's totally accessible. There's a fine cafe there as well. There is lovely walks all around. There is a beautiful old house belonging, I think, to the De Vere family, if I'm not mistaken. So that ruin is imposing. It's standing there in the centre of Curra Chase Forest Park, like a reminder of our colonial history right there. Another place to find the lesser horseshoe bat, believe it or not. He is rare, but loves these old buildings and trees. So this is a great place to find animals like that. There's a fantastic pond there. There's lovely swans. You can go and feed the ducks as well. And again, a beautiful mix of broadleaf and evergreen trees. And because Curra Chase was an old big family estate, just beautiful veteran specimen trees. Back in the 1800s, landlords would sometimes travel the world and bring back small saplings of plants, maybe to show they'd been around the world. So there's an arboretum there. So big examples of cypress trees, cedar trees, trees that you wouldn't see, and big old specimens of them. So it's a really interesting walk in Curra Chase.
So lots of secret finds and exciting things.
Exactly.
And that was the De Vere family.
Yeah.
That just sounds absolutely beautiful. And we're going to finish up in Kerry.
In Kerry. So Glantianasic is a really beautiful place to visit. It's near Tralee in Kerry. The Irish at Glantianasic, so the glen of the waterfall, and there is a beautiful waterfall to be seen in Glantianasic. This is remote and nice and wild, so you can drive up, park the car, put your boots on, and you'll feel, in 5 minutes, you're going to feel like you're Bear Grylls. It's a lovely, like, almost wilderness feel of this forest with lovely views of the Maharees. You can see the sandbanks there as they go out. Beautiful views of Mount Brandon. Really brisk in January. So we all want to walk off that turkey and ham. If you're like me, you've had way too much Christmas pudding. So if you're in Kerry, take a trip out to Glantianasic. You won't be disappointed.
So it's Glantianasic, and that's just outside Tralee.
Yeah. Yeah, fantastic place to visit.
And over 450 acres, so absolutely huge.
Massive.
Absolutely
plenty of time
massive.
To lose yourself in nature again.
Oh, it just sounds fantastic. It just sounds so, so beautiful. I haven't been there either. I must visit. I just want to say Happy New Year, Pat Neville from Quiltshire.
Thanks, Henry. Just one last thing to finish to say.
Yeah,
go on. To say some forests might have been closed. We've had some big strong winter storms. People remember Storm Dara. So just ask the public to be vigilant. If you come to a forest and there's a safety sign, just follow that. Mm-hmm. We've been working really hard to clear the trees. If your local forest is closed, check out the Quiltshire website. There's 260 recreation forests right around the country.
So that's Quiltshire.ie.
Quiltshire.ie. There's another one right beside you if that one's closed because of the storm damage. So yeah, wish
you. Of course. And check to see if they're open before you leave.
Exactly.
Check out the website.
Yeah.
Don't just show up
because
it does depend on conditions. Well, look, thank you for sharing that with us. Pat Neville from Quiltshire, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too. Thanks a million, Henry.
Happy New Year. We're joined by Owen Cashin, who's a personal trainer who I've known for a number of years. And you've been in the industry for a few decades at this stage. Now it's 2025.
Yep, been a long time. I think I've 12 years since you walked into Platinum.
Was it 12 years since I first met you?
Yep,
came in to do yoga. I came in to do yoga. Yep. I did come in to do yoga.
Yep.
Hot yoga. Didn't last very long.
No.
Nope. I just couldn't stretch.
But you keep coming back.
I did. And for you, Owen, this time of the year, I know gyms across the country are getting new membership. They are trying to lose weight. What advice would you give someone trying to lose weight and get fit at this time of the year? Should I just give up now?
No. I suppose the first thing to do would be to set goals. Be specific. There's no point just saying, "Oh, I want to lose weight." You know, say I want to lose 5 kilos, or I want to drop 2 jean sizes, or I want to lose X amount of body fat. You know, something that you can measure.
So you need a goal in a way. I'm wearing a shirt. Well, I'm wearing two shirts, but I'm wearing this shirt I bought when I got married in 2017. I'm going to try and do it up. Hang on. I can't even do up the buttons. I can't get there. I mean, it is a slim fit, but it's obviously I'm not slim.
Yeah, well, you're not 21 anymore, so. Look, you've gained a bit of weight, so I think using clothing as a motivator to drop weight is a really, really good idea because it's something that you can really kind of focus on and it's easy to work towards, you know.
And Owen Cashin, you have been working with so many people and you see me like, I can't believe I'm just about to do this, I'm going to compare myself to Oprah Winfrey. I do yo-yo, not the bank account, but I yo-yo. I'm up and down with the weight. And you've seen me when I was slimmer. You've probably seen me never as big as I am now. Is there a time, a good time to try? Is there a wrong time to try?
Truth is, there's never a good time to start. I mean, look, life happens. You know, things get in the way, whether it be your job, your kids, your wife, something. Everything gets in the way. The thing to do is decide that you're going to change and just start and really kind of give it a go.
Like, I make excuses. I just gave you a tour here on New Year's Day of the Newstalk building and you came across a box of fruit. I didn't even see it. You said, there's some fruit. And so I said, oh, I had a banana. So I just, as my mum would say to me, if you're hungry, have a banana. And I had a banana and it gave me a little bit of a boost today. It did. So, you know, try and find healthy options. Yeah, I live out of petrol stations and I find bad choices.
Yeah, so make good choices. So when you come in, there's a vending machine there with loaded snacks and chocolates and stuff. And then beside the box of fruit, there was a box of, you know, sandwiches. So, you know, be mindful of what you're doing. The one thing I always say to clients is change your vocabulary, your internal vocabulary. Don't say, I can't eat this. Just say, I don't eat this. And that kind of gives you more empowerment rather than denying you something tasty.
So I don't eat hot dogs for no reason. I don't eat hamburgers for no reason. Yeah. I don't eat crisps. All of those things I would miss if I had to give up. Actually, I could live without... No, I couldn't live without crisps.
No, you can't live without crisps. I even like crisps.
So you talk about setting goals and setting a date and creating a plan. Yeah. I mean, what goal should I set? I know the goal. I haven't said this.
Well, you have two goals. So one, you want to fit into the shirt. Okay, so how are you going to fit into the shirt? You're going to have to drop a bit of weight. Okay, so that's your first start of your plan. Okay, so you have your plan, you have your goal. Okay, so how do we get there? Okay, step one, start training. Okay, doesn't have to be the gym. It could be anything. If you feel like playing tag rugby, or if you like hill walking, whatever it is, do it. Step two then is just adjust your food. You know, you don't have to measure absolutely everything coming in, and you don't have to deny yourself of everything either. Just be sensible within your calories. I mean, at the end of the day, it's calories in versus calories out.
So you can still have treats.
You can have treats, but you know, we tend to turn treats into everyday things, rather than having them on special occasions, which they're supposed to meant to be like.
I know in the 1980s, you know, I'd have a McDonald's every 6 months. I'm not going to tell you how often I have one these days.
Frequent flyer. Same as that. So if you're people doing the weekly shop, don't buy the treats at the weekly shop because they're in the house then, and then you're more prone to...
So keep the treats in the shop and only go and drive to the shop or walk. Well, I should walk to the shop, really.
Walk to the shop. Decide on a Friday you're going to have whichever treats, go and buy them. Because if you have them in the house, you're going to eat them during the week.
That's so, so true. And you talk about being sensible. I mean, don't have unrealistic expectations.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably one of the reasons why most people fail is because they set really high goals for themselves. They can't achieve the goals and then they get disheartened and then they quit. So that's why you would see people doing yo-yos, weight gain or weight loss, is because they'll go full guns for a couple of weeks, then they'll stop, don't see the results that they want, and then put the weight back on.
And Owen Cashin, if I lost a stone, would that be a success? And how long should it take to lose a stone? I mean, you don't want to lose it too quickly. You don't want to be messing around with just a pound here and a pound there.
Well, a kind of a sensible fat loss is a pound a week. So we worked it out in a calorie deficit. That's 500 calories a day. So if you're doing that sustainably, you know, I'm not good at maths, but a pound a week,
it's going to fall off over a good few months.
And it's more likely to be sustainable, because what you're actually doing is creating good habits. If you go on a crash diet and, you know, you starve yourself, you give yourself 800 calories a day when you should be eating 2,000, you'll do that for a couple of weeks, you'll lose the stone, but it'll come straight back on because you won't be able to keep it up.
Like, we're right in the heart of the capital at the moment, surrounded by fast food restaurants and supermarkets. How do you make the good choice? I mean, I could just go and get a pizza slice within seconds. I could get a burger. There's actually nowhere I can get an old-fashioned Italian bag of chips, which actually aren't that bad, anywhere near me from here. That's what I'd love right now, some chips.
Okay, so you're an office worker-based worker. You were sitting at the desk for a lot of the time.
Well,
or you're driving.
I'm petrol station.
Yeah, or you're driving. So you're not burning a whole load of calories, right? So carbohydrates are your energy source. If you're not burning a lot of carbohydrates, you don't need to eat a whole load of carbohydrates. Don't cut them out of your diet, because carbs are very important for you, but they have to be eaten in the right amounts. So what you would do possibly could switch your focus to protein, increase your protein by a small amount per meal, and decrease your carb content per meal. Other option, add loads of greens. They're still carbohydrates, but they're lower, much lower in calorie value.
Exercise, obviously. You know, I've always tried to outdo a bad diet, but it catches me in the end. Exercise.
Never train a bad diet.
No?
No. One, you'll either eat too many calories, more than you're burning. Two, you're going to possibly not recover enough from your workouts, because you're not getting the proper nutrients that you need.
So you're hurting your body?
Possibly, yeah.
And should I know I'm in the running club, but obviously I need to go. Not just be a member, like a gym member. Should I do more weights? Should I did when I lost 5 stone, believe it or not, I lost that 5 stone 12, 13 years ago now, but I put it all back on. I lost a huge amount of weight, like massive. And I wasn't doing anything unusual, except that I ate breadcrumb chicken salads, just like, you know, basically nuggets with salad and soup. That's all I ate. And I exercised. So, I did boot camp. I was basically doing army training.
So inadvertently there, what you did was reduce your calories by a huge amount, just by switching out chips maybe for a salad or something like that. Science would say weight training is better for fat loss. However, not all people like to weight train. So if you start weight training and you don't like it, you're not going to keep it up. So find something sustainable. If it's the gym and doing weights, great. If it's hill walking, super. The running club, great for fat loss, because you're doing it constantly. The trick to fat loss really is consistency, regardless of what you're doing.
So that's the thing. And, you know, we were talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger earlier. And, you know, Arnie lived in the gym. Should I just spend a bit more time in the gym? And I don't mind the pain when you lift. I feel a little bit stiff the next day, but I don't feel like you've tore me apart. I feel, because you're basically tearing muscles apart, I feel okay. I should just try and come a bit more.
Yeah, I mean, look, the DOMS, which is the muscle pain that you might get at the start of a program, that goes away. If you're constantly sore after working out or running or whatever it is you're doing too much and you need to back down. With Arnold, especially in his older years, he always says the gym is his lifestyle. That's
what Arnie does.
It's what he does. It's part of his life, and regardless of bodybuilding, that's exactly what he does. He just trains. That's him.
So do you think I could fit in the shirt? I've also agreed to do the Newry Half Marathon in May. Can I do that? Will that half marathon help? Can I lose weight? I know it's up to me, and that time I lost 5 stone, I did get help. I've said this to you before. I had a nutritionist, I had a doctor, I had a gym instructor, I had also Ender McNulty, who I love, the sports psychologist. He helped me too. I was like Britney Spears. I had a team. I mean, do I need a team?
No, you don't need a team. What you need is a goal, and you have two. So one is the marathon, and two is you want to fit that shirt. So both of them you can achieve at the same time. It's quite easy, because with the amount of training that you're going to need to do the marathon, you're going to have to put a lot of miles in. You're going to have to adjust your nutrition, because you're carrying excess weight when you're running is going to make it much, much harder and slow you right down, potentially cause an injury. So you're going to have to change your diet accordingly to so you can perform.
And Owen Cashin, what would you say to listeners out there across Ireland? Today is January 1st. It's New Year's Day. Can they do anything? Can they do anything to change their lifestyle to bring down that weight?
Make one change. You don't have to, people kind of go with the kitchen sink method where they'll throw absolutely everything at it. Just make one change. It doesn't have to be huge. Increase your water intake 1 week. Next week, increase your protein. Increase your steps. Get to the gym twice a week. That's a huge achievement.
Yeah, I must join you in the gym soon. Owen Cashin, thank you so much for dropping by.
Henry's Happy New Year. This is News Talk.
You're very welcome to Henry's Happy New Year. We're here right up until the top of the hour. I'm Henry McKean and I'm joined by Jess Kelly. And we're going to be talking about highlights from 2024 when it comes to gigs and what to look out for in 2025. Jess, you're very welcome.
Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you too. And I should have offered you a Happy
it's
New
okay.
Year.
It's been noted. It's okay.
How do you feel about 2025? But before that, tell us about your music, your gig highlights of 24.
There's a few that stand out for me and for different reasons. I think one that is a core memory for me from 2024 was taking my niece, who was 9. She's 10 now, actually. It was her birthday the other day, to Taylor Swift.
Yes.
She has really found her interest in music over the last few months and
Fantastic.
Became obsessed with Taylor Swift, like everybody in this country did. And taking her to the Aviva Stadium, sitting in a crowd filled with happiness and just pure joy was incredible. And aside from Taylor being an unbelievable performer, the thing that will stand out for me is watching my niece swapping the friendship bracelets with people seated around her.
Oh, they were huge, weren't they? The friendship bracelets. Absolutely.
But
bracelets,
Henry,
I should say.
It made my heart so happy because there were girls and boys who were younger and older than Ellie swapping them. There was also women and men turning around and getting involved. It was one of those real communal, just gives you that heartful feeling of just happiness. So that to me was one of my core memories of 2024. And then the second one is Coldplay.
I didn't get to go to Coldplay. What was that like? I heard so much about it. I heard people say that it was the most joyous, beautiful feeling ever. And it was so colourful.
Yeah.
Everyone had great things to say.
It was, I wouldn't be the biggest Coldplay fan. I remember getting A Rush of Blood to the Head on CD when I was a teenager.
I did buy all their CDs, I admit that.
So you kind of know all of their songs, but as a tech fan, I was blown away by the production element of it. So when you went in, you were given one of those wristbands. Taylor Swift had them too.
Yes.
But they were much more interactive during the Coldplay gig, I found. So during certain songs, the entire stadium was dancing. The bracelets were dancing. Then there
Amazing.
Was also certain lights around the stadium and you were given these kind of 3D movie goggles. Do you remember the pink cardboard ones?
Yes, and they were very popular in the 1950s.
They looked like they came with a packet of Cocoa Pops. You put them on at certain times during the gig and if you looked at a certain light, it would come out in the shape of a heart.
Unreal.
So just from a tech nerd point of view, aside from the music, which was incredible and they performed so well, and again, like Taylor Swift, there was just that real communal... This is a moment. This isn't just a gig. This is a moment in time. And it was wonderful.
I heard so much good stuff about that. Another gig that you went to just a few weeks ago. What was it?
It was Fontaines DC. And have you heard of them?
I have. I've listened to them, but I've never seen them live. No.
They are one of the most exciting Irish acts, I would say, at the moment. And again, it was special for me because their latest album came out the week that we moved into our house. And so my boyfriend had that album on repeat.
So that was the soundtrack to your new house, to your new life.
Exactly. And so when we got to see them live in the Three Arena a few weeks back, again, it was just, it kind of reminded me how much music is tied to our memories. I love music.
Yes.
But for me, as I said, between Taylor, Coldplay and Fontaine CC, they are three sort of key moments of my 2024 that were marked by music. But I would just, if they're coming to town ever again, jump on it.
And on that, I know Coldplay, their first album, Parachutes.
Mm-hmm.
We had this old Ford Cortina and we were driving across Australia and it got stuck in the tape deck.
Oh no.
And we just listened to it over and over again. And like that, it's stuck in your memory.
But it brings you back to that moment, right? And you know, I think that's the wonderful thing about music. And that's why when we look ahead to 2025, I'm quite excited because some of the acts that are coming to town, again, there's elements of core parts of my life that are tied to some of these artists. And although we're not going to go through every single gig that's coming up for 2025.
There's so much going on. And just before exciting. We move on to 2025, my favourite gig in 2024 was ACDC in Crow Park.
Oh, you went to that?
And it was unreal. Like that, I saw them in the year 2000 in Sydney. It was the best gig and it was scaled down. There was no fancy technology, really.
Yeah.
You know, they had a few screens, but it was just, they had fireworks at the end. It was the best. And the love in Crow Park that night in the summer, AC/DC, if you ever get a chance to see them before they retire or die, and I mean that in the best possible way because some artists are getting older, go and see them. But let's move on to 2025. We've got some massive gigs coming up and some smaller gigs and some Jess Kelly favourite gigs.
Yes,
tell us.
Yes, indeed. So the one that I think is going to be a moment, a bit like Taylor Swift, is Sabrina Carpenter. She is playing in Dublin's Three Arena in March.
God, she could sell out Crow Park three times.
She could, but I think what she's doing is similar to what Taylor did when she was earlier in her career, which is play the smaller venues, have that hype, have that demand. I imagine Santa brought quite a few Sabrina Carpenter tickets over the last week or so to House.
And I'd also would say that Santa, you know, perhaps did disappoint a few children.
Absolutely, because these are in demand. But I do think when March rolls around, there will be a hype. You will see people going around with the little Kiss tattoos on their legs. You will see people going around in the sequin body suits. She is sort of the next iteration of Taylor Swift, I think. She is a pure pop star.
Yep.
Obviously, there's the Irish connection with her relationship, former relationship with Barry Keoghan. So I think this is going to be an exciting one. But
she's adopted Irish.
She essentially is. But another one that I would recommend, and I don't know if it's sold out as of yet, but it is Snow Patrol.
You're a Snow Patrol fan?
Well,
I never knew that.
Let me explain the context. So they're playing in Virgin Media Park in Cork on the 19th of June.
Yes.
They headlined Electric Picnic 2 or 3 years ago.
That does ring a bell. I didn't see them.
The Sunday night. Now, I would have said, I know Snow Patrol songs, but I don't know.
I bought one of their albums in 2004.
I think everyone had that album, right? Everyone did. They were one of the best acts I've ever seen at Electric Picnic. The whole crowd knew every word to every song. And then there's one song of theirs.
Chasing Cars?
No, it's Run in the Dark, I think it's called. And it is just incredible. And I would highly recommend it. I think that they will be a great band. I've not been to Virgin Media Park in Cork, so I don't know what it's like as a venue. But if you're looking for something,
I think it's newly renovated. I think it's a good place.
If you're looking for something to do on a Thursday night in June, check out Snow Patrol.
And you've also got down Justin Timberlake. And I can see why. I know people over the last year kind of went off Justin Timberlake over that issue with the drink driving and all the rest of it. But I understand, an absolute class act. If you just park the Britney stuff, a brilliant class act.
He is, again, one of those pure pop stars. He wouldn't necessarily be my cup of tea, but I would say the live show is a spectacle.
Incredible.
It's taking place in Malahide Castle on the 28th of June. Tickets are not as expensive as I thought they'd be. They're from $89.90 for general admission.
It's not bad for Ireland.
It's not bad, particularly on some of the contacts that we're going to come to. But I think he is one to go to. If you're in and around, so I'm 35, Justin Timberlake was the pop star of my teens and 20s. So I think if you're in and around my age, and if you're looking for some pure pop, he is a dancer.
That'd
he's
be brilliant.
A performer.
Sexy back live.
I think it would be one to go to for sure.
It would be amazing. And we're going to move on to something that you talked about a lot in 2024.
Yes.
And believe it or not, my landscape gardener is their first cousin.
That's so random.
Oasis. And he actually told me they were going to get back together in 2025 and I didn't believe him.
You had the jump. Well, they are coming to Dublin. As we all know, they are playing two dates in Croke Park. They are fully sold out the 16th and 17th of August. I don't have tickets for the Dublin date. If anyone wants to, hook me up, let me know.
You'll get there. Someone's going to suddenly realise on August 16th they need to be at a wedding, maybe their own wedding.
If you're going to a wedding, drop me a DM and I will buy your tickets. But this is the one, the hype and the buzz for the Oasis comeback tour. Will they stay together before the gigs kick off? Who knows?
Well, I think they have to. My understanding is otherwise they won't get the full amount.
Yeah.
I know their first cousin, Gallagher Paving, Des Gallagher, says, yeah, it's going to go ahead. It's going to happen. They will not break up. Well, hopefully they'll only break up after they play Croke Park on August 16th and 17th. And yeah, it's going to be massive. And I know there was the whole dynamic pricing was a big buzzword this year. And I have friends who paid, I think, €300 a ticket. I mean,
that's still not the most. I think a lot of people were very frustrated. And as we look ahead to 2025, I'd say conversations around dynamic pricing and pricing disparity and transparency are going to be big talking points. But once you're in the gig, you're not going to care. You are going to do what could be a once-in-a-lifetime experience of standing there and watching Liam and Noel and the lads playing all of the hits. And I'm very excited.
That'll be amazing. And a gig, I got to meet him just the other day, quite recently, well, a few weeks ago now, Robbie Williams.
Yes.
Croke Park next summer. Tell us.
Yeah, he is taking over Croke Park on August 23rd. It's a Saturday, which I think is a great day for a gig.
We normally get midweek stuff here, don't we?
The weather should be good. Mm. I've seen a lot of, obviously he's had a few documentaries and a few series on the likes of Netflix and whatever in recent times. He's a fascinating character, but I bought, back when I was a teenager, his Live at Nebworth DVD.
You didn't.
I did. I loved Robbie Williams. Mm. And again, he is a performer. He uses up every inch of stage space. He has the hits. He has some new songs that aren't as good, but he has the hits.
And the personality.
And the personality. Mm. And Elbow are the support act.
Some people are just going for Elbow.
I would go. So I went to Slain a number of years ago, very many years ago now, when Kings of Leon were headlining. And Kings of Leon were a letdown, but the support act that day was Elbow.
Wow.
And they blew me away. So I would highly recommend, like, what a lineup. Elbow and Robbie Williams. Tickets are on sale now between €77.25 and €152.25. And it is taking place, as I said, next August. I think, regardless of whether you're a Robbie fan or not, if you're looking for a fun Saturday out, absolutely go.
Oh, and he's such an entertainer. And so charismatic. You know, when I met him recently, I actually did say, I had his albums on mini disc. I'm showing my age now.
Oh, Henry.
Back in the late 90s. I loved a mini disc. The quality of sound, let me entertain you. Well, Jess, thanks for entertaining us here on Henry's Happy New Year. Thank you so much for joining us. And just to say Happy New Year, because I forgot to say Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Henry.
Henry's Happy New Year. This is News Talk.
Serena Bellissimo, thank you so much for joining us for Henry's Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Henry.
And I know that you're about to fly to Australia to get some January sun. Yes, you're the opposite of the seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're looking forward to it.
I'm so excited. Can't wait to soak. It better be sunny. I'm going to Melbourne. So Melbourne is a bit hit and miss. So
well, yeah, you could get rain. But look, I hope you have an absolutely brilliant time down there. But before you get on that plane, that 24-hour plane, I don't know how you do it. I go a bit crazy on about 20 hours. Just the last 4 hours, I start losing the
plot. Do you know what I do? And I cannot wait to do this. Yeah. I go on and watch all the TV and all the films that I may have missed. Like, I know I watch a lot during the year, but then there's ones that I want to watch again or watch for the first time. And I spend, I love that for 24 hours. Yeah. Nobody can contact me, Henry.
No, it's lovely. I remember flying over to LA, which is quite far with Aer Lingus. And we were heading to the Oscars there last spring, 2024. And Cillian Murphy was ahead of me, a few seats ahead of me.
Of course. I don't,
and
were you in business class?
Yes.
Of course you were,
yes,
Henry.
I was in business. I never go in business, but that particular day, and I ended up watching all the movies he was in, which was really creepy.
That's not creepy at all. And then did you start on Peaky Blinders after that too?
Yeah, no. And then my wife, because you're in business, you can text. And your WhatsApp works. My wife said, how's the flight going? And I just said, Killian's asleep. I'm like,
So it was a running report on what Killian was doing.
No, I wasn't paying any attention to him whatsoever, just watching him on the screen. But no, I mean, and 2024 was wonderful. It was wonderful to be over there to witness him win best male actor to win the Oscar.
And hopefully he'll be up for it again in 2025, because he was incredible. Now, I know we're going to talk about 2025 films, but if you missed it, it's a hard watch, but he was incredible.
It was small things like these.
It was
everything he's been involved with.
So I wouldn't be surprised if he gets another Oscar nomination this year, and you'll be following him over in Business.
No, we'll see what kneecap. I've got all my eggs in the kneecap basket. But yeah, we're going to talk about the most anticipated movies of 25. And we're going to start with We Live in Time, and that's actually out today.
Yeah. This is the perfect time to actually go to the cinema in January. If you don't want your blockbusters, if you don't want another reboot, another retelling, this is when you're going to get the gorgeous Oscar films, but also you may be crying a lot during January if you go to the cinema. And this is what...
Tears.
Yeah, We Live in Time. Henry, I think this is one of my favourite films that I've seen.
And you've seen it already?
Yeah.
Lucky enough to see it.
Yeah, I got to see it last year.
Some festival, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Oh, no, I got an early screening for it. But it was absolutely brilliant. This is Florence Pugh and Andrew Garfield, and they play a couple, and we watch their life over 10 years. And while it's about them, it's about nothing and it's about everything.
Yes.
It's about life, and it's deep, and then it's also funny. It's just beautiful. I don't remember the last time I watched a movie like this, and I realized I've missed it because it's, you know, some people are calling it a bit of a rom-com. It's not a rom-com. There's romance in there, there's comedy, there's drama. It's just a movie about a period of time in your life. I'm not going to ruin it for you.
So it's a romantic movie.
It is.
And we can't use that phrase anymore because it'll get cancelled. A chick flick.
It's not a chick flick.
Can we still say chick flick?
I don't know.
We can't.
No.
Even though I'm still catching up on chick flicks. My brothers wouldn't let me watch them as a child.
You
I was banned
films,
from watching them.
You?
Oh, absolutely. Still catching up
what
on
80s. What did they make you watch?
Rambo, Rocky, that kind of stuff.
Oh, Rocky. I love Rocky. but this one is for everyone. And do you know what? While I was in there watching, and like I walked out, and the way I felt at the end of this was like, it's one of those films that just...
It takes
all your emotion. And I sobbed. I sobbed like a baby. But then I went, this is the type of film I want to go to the cinema for. It may sound to you, if you're listening, like, I'll wait till it appears on one of the streamers. Please go watch this on the big screen. Go have a date night.
You can't beat a date night. And I need to go on way more date nights with my wife, obviously.
Please take your wife to see. Yep. This is beautiful. And it's a perfect date night.
And I'm reading here that you're giving this 5 stars.
Oh, yeah. I give this 5. This is my first 5-star of the year, obviously.
Yes.
And I think this
on New Year's Day.
This film for me is going to be pretty hard to beat. I reckon this is going to be on my top 10 list come this time next year.
So that's We Live in Time. We're going to move on to A Real Pain, and that's coming out on January the 10th.
Yeah, and there's a lot, again, for the first few films we're going to be talking about awards buzz. There's a lot of awards buzz around this. This is starring Jesse Eisenberg and Kieran Culkin.
Yep.
They play two cousins who haven't seen each other in a while, and they go back to Poland because they're going on a Jewish heritage tour of Poland after their grandmother died.
Okay.
It's a road trip movie.
Yeah.
The cousins couldn't be more dissimilar, and...
Sounds fascinating.
It is, and I've loved seeing Jesse and Kieran on the promo trail. Again, this is one that I wouldn't be surprised if Kieran gets an Academy...
A nod.
Yeah, because he's been, like, all the Oscar buzz is around him. All the awards buzz is around him at the moment.
That's interesting. And we're going to move on to Baby Girl.
Yeah. Do you feel like this came out ages ago? This isn't the Nicole Kidman one.
Yeah. Was it out or is it out? Or was it festival buzz or what was it?
This is what's happened, right?
In my feed?
Festival buzz, Oscar buzz, they need to get these films out by a certain time or else you're not going to be in contention. And I just feel like Nicole Kidman has been on the promo tool for this forever.
So you mean this comes out on January 10th, it's not out yet?
No, it's not out yet.
I just kept getting stuff sent to me
about
it. Because, everywhere I looked.
Yeah, she plays a CEO who lives with her husband. You think she's in a happy relationship with her husband, but it's a sexless relationship. She meets an intern and it's a steamy affair between the two of them. And this is getting a lot of talk because of the intense sex scenes that are going on in this. Even Nicole Kidman said she found it, she was nervous watching this on screen, but she found this film to make very liberating.
Yes.
It's...
She can't do anything wrong these days.
She can't. And again, she won at Venice for Best Actress. Unfortunately, she had to leave Venice early last year because that's the she got news that her mum had sadly passed away on that day. So I wouldn't be surprised if she is nominated for her sixth Oscar because of this.
Wow, wow. Yeah. So that's Baby Girl. Keep an eye out for that. And we're going to move on to Maria.
Yeah, Maria. This is the story of Maria Callas, the world's greatest opera singer. And this is about the last days of her life in the 1970s when she lived in Paris and she's confronting her identity and her life. And again, a lot of chatter about this. Another one I feel like has been out already, but it hasn't. It's out the same week as Baby Girl. This is Angelina Jolie.
Mm.
She got, I think it was an 8, 9 or 10 minute standing ovation at Venice as well.
And does standing ovations mean anything? Not that I've ever had one.
No. I'm shocked you haven't had one. Anytime I'm around you, people are giving you a standing ovation.
And you're supposed to just keep clapping as long as possible?
So awkward. Like, what do you do?
20 minutes?
Is 10 minutes.
That's huge.
But do you know what? I'll tell you why I don't take these seriously anymore, because Joker, got a 7 minute standing ovation in Venice? And that
didn't go down well.
That rates as my worst film of 2024.
Really? So, I must watch it. I love a terrible film.
Oh, no, no.
Still haven't seen it.
This is terrible, terrible. Don't go anywhere near it. But apparently, Maria is one that we should all watch. Again, we're going to get, if you want really class cinema, go in January.
Yeah, you get the best because of the festival season or the award season,
say. Yeah.
So, The Last Showgirl, this is Pamela Anderson, and I am rewatching Baywatch at the moment.
Why?
It was my favorite program in the 90s.
Your brother's you watch that?
I'm rewatching it. And Pamela Anderson is in this.
She is in this. And again, more Oscar buzz around this one. She plays a showgirl who has just been told that all of a sudden she's been a showgirl for 30 years and that's it. It's done. It's
she's
over.
Gone.
She needs to reinvent herself. There's younger people coming up. It's all about her trying to reconnect with her daughter, who's played by Billie Lourd. As well in this, we've got Kiernan Sherpa that you'd know from Don Draper's daughter in Mad Men.
Ah, okay.
Jamie Lee Curtis is in this. Dave Bautista. Brenda Song. This is getting, and it's directed by Gia Coppola, Francis Ford Coppola's granddaughter.
So this could do well. This is hitting a lot of buttons.
And this is one I'm really looking forward to. And this is the one that I think that's going to put Pamela Anderson back out there and see her in a way that people haven't seen her before. So
marvelous.
That one I'm looking forward to.
A marvellous woman.
Yeah.
Very intelligent. Do you know, I met her once.
Of course you did. Tell me this story.
She was amazing. Total, really, really intelligent. I met her in Brown Thomas. She was promoting, I think, a makeup and raising money for an AIDS charity. And absolutely beautiful, marvellous woman. And, you know, they say, don't meet your heroes. I was delighted to.
Do you know what? And I'm thrilled that she's getting all this attention for all the right reasons now. And just this one, an interesting fact about this is her agent passed this up and her son went, why don't you do this, Mum? Agent no longer with her. Now she's got this and awards.
Amazing, amazing. I know we've got loads to get through here. And I know that we haven't got too long. We're going to go through some of these. Sinners in March. Tell us about Sinners.
Okay, so Sinners is reteams Ryan Coogler, who's the director of Black Panther and directed Michael B. Jordan in Creed. He is trying to leave. He's with his brother. They're trying to leave their troubled lives behind. They go to their hometown to start again, but there's an even greater evil that's there to welcome them back. There's a lot. I'm going to fly through some now as well, because there's one that I know nothing about, but nobody does. It's called a Black Bag. It's a spy drama from Steven Soderbergh. It stars Michael Fassbender, Cate Blanchett, Pierce Brosnan.
Massive names.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that one. Another one I'm really looking for, I'm not looking forward to, but a lot of people are, if you're a fan of John Wick, Ballerina.
Yes.
This basically takes place during the events of John Wick Chapter 3. And now we've got Eve Mercara, who's played by Ana de Armas, and she's beginning her training. Keanu Reeves is also going to feature in this.
Mm.
One for the kids. I cannot wait.
Yes.
Elio, the new Pixar film.
That's going to be huge.
That looks amazing. My son has been counting down the days for a Minecraft movie. That is out
my
in April.
My son loves Minecraft too.
Yep, so that's out in April. The ones that I'm not looking forward to, we've got Captain America, Superman, another retelling of Superman.
So more superhero movies.
Yep, Thunderbolts, Karate Kid Legends.
I'm really looking forward to this. I'm really looking forward to this.
Do we need it? So I love.
I started watching Cobra Kai during COVID,
and it's good.
And it's good. And I think we need it. I think I need some Karate Kid in my life.
Okay,
I know you think we probably don't, and we're just trying to. Well, not us, but the Hollywood are trying to make money, and that's what they do. They're trying to make money.
Yeah. So we've got Ralph Macchio's back. There's Jackie Chan and Joshua Jackson, and finally, I will end it on two. One I don't care about, but just in case you're a fan, Avatar: Fire and Ash, the third one. We know nothing about
it.
I don't need to know about it. That is out in December, and the one that everyone's really looking forward to. If you loved Wicked,
yes,
that was only part one. Part two is out in November.
They're doing a part two.
Yeah.
They're doing a part. Why? Money.
Ka-ching. I think it should have all have been done in the one. But anyway, we've got part two coming in.
Will you watch it? Will you go and see it?
Of course I will.
But you have to. Yeah. It's your job.
No, but
you would go for pleasure.
Yeah. I just wish it was just the one film. I think we can't judge the whole of Wicked until we've watched both parts. It's going to be very different to the first.
Well, Serena Bellissimo, you get on that plane to Australia. Thank you so much for joining us for Henry's Happy New Year.
Henry's Happy New Year. This is News Talk.
You're very welcome back to Henry's Happy New Year. I'm joined by Naomi Nickel and Alvaro Cabello. Did I pronounce it right?
Yeah, that's fine. Cabello, yeah.
That you're happy enough with that.
Yeah, I know.
And we are talking about what's hot in 2025. What's new in 2025, and that's why we invited you in. We are talking about padel. What is padel, Naomi?
So padel is a sport. It is a hybrid between tennis and squash. It's been around since the late 1960s, and there's been great growth around Europe, in fact, around the world. And it really is taking off at the moment in Ireland. We see that.
Like, Naomi, in 2024, it's been everywhere. You tell us about the origins, because it's a really, really growing sport. I understand it comes from Mexico.
Yeah, it was born in Mexico like 45 years ago, and it was really popular in Argentina in the 90s, and then came to Spain, where I originally from, and it was massive, more like nearly 5 million players,
wow,
actually in Spain, and it's growing all around the globe now.
And Naomi, why the explosion now? Does it have something to do with COVID? Why is everyone playing padel all of a sudden?
Okay, so we did see a trend starting just before COVID, and then everything closed down, and padel was one of the first sports to get back out and up and running following COVID. So there was a huge interest, and so we have seen that since then. And a lot of people interested in building courts or clubs that were looking to start building courts and might have been at committee level at the time. It's now coming to fruition. I suppose we're seeing it develop now.
So for listeners out there that aren't familiar with it, it's kind of a hybrid between tennis and squash with glass walls and a fence around the court. But it's more than that. It's a totally different sport, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's. I suppose the beauty of it is that it's very social. It's played in doubles.
Does it have to be doubles?
It has to be doubles.
Has to be doubles.
It does have to be doubles.
It's very sociable then, isn't it?
It's very sociable. So you cannot play by yourself. And it's quite a forgiving sport. So for beginners, taking off, you're on the court, you're playing, you miss the ball, it doesn't matter. It's not as obvious as perhaps other sports where the ball, you're going chasing it. This, it stays, it can look as though it's staying in play.
And it might. And the court is much smaller, isn't it? So you can get more of these courts into, I suppose, a venue. And there's lots of them opening up in hotels, in parks across the country, especially Dublin.
That's correct, yeah. So we had the headquarters in Bushy Park, and we were so lucky to have it start there. There are four courts, outdoor courts, and it was, I suppose, 2017 that it started to take off around that area. Dublin, definitely, but you can see now the next 2 weeks, there will be two facilities opening, one in Limerick and one in Cork as well. So that's a great start to the new year.
And we actually have one of the rackets. Do you call them rackets?
We do.
So it's a padel racket. So if you could pass one of them over to me. Thanks so much, Alvaro. So I've got it here. And I know this is radio, so it's hard to describe. It looks a little bit like a cross between a tennis racket and, you know, when you play beach volleyball in the summer, kind of, but it's got holes in it. I can look right through it. And this one is a Wilson. So that's a very traditional tennis This is brand new. Sorry, I shouldn't have banged it. It probably is. It's still for sale, isn't it?
That's for you.
Oh,
that's your New Year's.
For you.
That's
New Year's.
It's, you're not actually giving me this, are you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you genuine?
Yes.
That's oh my God, I'm gonna have to actually play it now.
You're.
And we've got balls as well. We're gonna have a look at these balls.
Yeah.
They are.
You have to pop in the can. No?
Oh, are they in the can? Is it pressurized?
Yeah.
Okay. So can I open it? Will it go pop?
Feel free to open.
Well, hang on. Oh, it's an actual can. So here we go. Oh, Jesus. Sorry.
I like that sound.
These are fresh balls. Fresh balls. Happy New Year, everyone. We're taking them out of the can. And I'm just looking at the balls here. So they're smaller than a tennis ball. Just a little bit smaller. Not too much smaller. And I can see now why you guys love it. So tell us about what the... racket is made out of, the paddle racket. Tell us.
Okay. There's two normally composition, fiberglass or carbon. So the carbon bats are more expensive and the fiberglass are, you know, a little bit cheaper. And you can find range in prices between 50 and 350.
So they're solid. I mean, yeah. With a tennis racket, they have, they're not solid, are they? They've got strings. Mm-hmm. So that's totally different. And what is it you love about it, Naomi? Why this sport? Why have you got behind paddle?
I suppose it's the opportunity. It's a new sport and it's open to everybody. And the beautiful thing is people don't know if they can play it until they try it. So it's entirely new. And with that comes a lot of opportunities. And I suppose, you know, we're working with the Federation to grow the sport and to grow it in all areas. So from grassroots right to high performance. Now, we did take part with Team Ireland last year in the Krakow European Games. So that was amazing.
So how did it go in Krakow?
It went well. It went well. We were one of 32 countries to compete in the European Games. Obviously, it was a huge deal for us.
And did you make it out yourself?
I did. I went.
Fantastic.
I did. And Jenny Claffey, she was part of the team.
Fantastic.
So she was part of the female team. Yeah. And it was fantastic. It was an amazing experience to be part of Team Ireland, to see how they operate. They're amazing. And then to go and to be on the greatest stage, I suppose, at the European Games. So we're hoping to get paddle into the Olympics for Brisbane 32.
So Brisbane 32, that's the one you're aiming for.
That's what we're aiming for.
And it's now 2025. So not that long ago. Not that long to
say. No, which is why we're heavily focused now in the juniors. Because for us to play catch up with the rest of the world in terms of paddle development, we need to work on our juniors. So that's very important. And we were delighted to launch the Rockwell National Junior Program that started last year. And we brought coaches over from Spain. We've worked with the development team in the international to run this program.
So Naomi, you're really, really going for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very, very big in Spain and it's very, very big in Mexico. And to name a few celebrities locally, Johnny Sexton plays it. David Beckham plays it. Serena Williams plays it. So the A-listers love it too.
Yeah. At the moment, all the celebrities are tasting the sport. And I'm 100% they love it.
And on that, I did play tennis in my teenage years. I was in a tennis club, could you imagine? And I haven't played in years. I'm now much older. I'm 46. And now it's 2025. I'll be going into my 47th year. Am I too old to play this new, well, it's not new, it's new to us, paddle? Am I too old?
Do you mean for the Olympics in 32?
Well, I know I just about qualify for that, but am I
not
too
really,
old here?
Not really.
You can be any age.
You're
That's
fine.
The thing. That's, yeah, everybody, you know, all ages are taking it up. And in fact, the veterans category, which is from 35 plus.
I'm a veteran.
That's huge. Wow. You are a veteran.
Oh, yeah, my God.
You are.
Wow.
We all are. But that category, that it's quite big.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose it's a compliment to be called a veteran in a way.
Yeah.
So it's growing. It's getting bigger. Team Ireland in paddle is represented globally. This sport, paddle, is here to stay. You think it's here
Absolutely.
To stay?
Absolutely. It's on the rise. And we're so excited to see what 25 is going to hold for it. And there are a lot more courts and clubs in the mix at the moment.
So you think it's going to get bigger and bigger. I just want to thank both of you for coming in on New Year's Day. I want to wish both of you a Happy New Year. And you've given me a New Year's present. I'm actually blown away. I've got nothing to give you. I think the cupboards are bare here. I don't even have a biscuit to give you back. I've nothing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You've given me balls as well, fresh balls for 2025. Yeah. A huge thank you to Alvaro Cabello and Naomi Nickel from Paddle Island. Happy New Year. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year to you too.
We're now going to talk about the Special Olympics, because it's a Special Olympics year. There's a Winter Games coming up, and I'm actually joined in studio by athlete Lorraine Whelan and your dad, Brendan Whelan, and also from the Special Olympics, Graham Rowe. You're all very welcome.
Thank you, Henry.
Thanks, Henry.
So it's great to have you. I suppose we'll start with you, Lorraine. I mean, there's so much to talk about with you. You've been involved in the Special Olympics for how long now? How many years?
20 years.
20 years?
Yeah.
So, Brendan, it's been that long?
It's even longer than that, Henry.
It's longer? How long is it?
I think we got involved up in Kilternan, probably 1998.
Right.
And she went on our first World Winter Games in 2001 to Alaska.
Where do the years go?
26 plus years, I'd say.
26. So up there in the dry ski slope in Kilternan. And I know I was learning to ski. I was lucky enough to learn in Scotland. And then as an adult, I went to Kilternan. Mm. And it's great because when you actually do get to the real snow, you're ready, because it's actually quite hard on dry ski.
Ready. You know, it's easier to ski on snow than it is on nylon.
It is much easier. So you're out there in Wicklow. You're based out there in Wicklow. And I understand, Lorraine, it was your dad that got you involved in skiing. Tell us.
Yes, I first started skiing, which my coaches are called Eddie and Kathleen Sykes, and they are just incredible coaches. And my father pushed me. Had my first lesson. Honestly, I hated it. I did tantrums. I said to my dad, "Dad, I do not want to be here. Get me out of here quick."
Really?
Yes. So yeah. I came back for the next few lessons, and I loved it. And time by time, I went back and I grew and grew. And that's how I got involved with Special Olympics.
So you absolutely love it. And I'm going to bring you and Graham Rowe from the Special Olympics. You know, the Winter Games is coming up. It's in Italy. Tell us, what can we expect?
So we're all extremely excited. Preparations are underway. Lorraine and her fellow Team Ireland athletes are training very hard alongside our coaches. And it will be an absolute enormous spectacle. And I've no doubt they're going to make us all extremely proud. It will be taking place over a week in Turin and also up in the mountains as well. And there will be 8 different sports. There will be over 1,000 different athletes from over 100 countries taking part. So it really is an enormous, enormous occasion. And it really demonstrates the transformational impact of inclusion, of sport. And we're just so excited and so proud of Lorraine and all of our athletes.
That's absolutely fantastic. And, you know, Brendan, I've met you over the years at various Special Olympics. I think the first one was in Athens in 2011. I think we met. Did we not meet there? Or maybe it was just a mirage. Maybe I saw you over a Slovakia or something. Yeah. But but I've met you over the years at various games. And
yeah.
But, we'll go to something a bit more recent, 2017, Austria. Yeah. Because, you know, this one's particularly, it's not just in Turin, but it's also, it's up in the mountains. So sometimes the floorball takes place in the city and then up in the Italian Alps. It's the skiing. Tell us.
Yeah, well, funny enough, I've been to Sestriere myself with the ski club. The ski club goes away on holidays every year, and I think it was about 6 years ago we went to Sestriere. So it's a super resort, good mountains. Some world championships are held there, you know, so the Special Olympians are skiing on fairly tough terrain, you know.
And it's a class city. I've only been to Turin once.
Yeah.
And it was for the Eurovision. And I'm trying to get the year right. 2022. Yeah. And it's a mountain city.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely fabulous. Not just the people, not just the food.
Yeah.
But the fact that you can, in the same day, you know, have a cappuccino in the city centre. Sure. And then in the afternoon, you can be up the slopes.
Yeah, it's fantastic. We're all looking forward to it. And the extended Whelan family will be there. I think there's, including Lorraine, there'll be 9 Whelans.
9 Whelans. Wow.
Yeah. 2 of them are grandchildren who are learning to ski as we speak.
Yeah.
But not having the tantrums that Lorraine had.
Yeah, that's true.
It's okay. I think it's okay to have a tantrum. And I know, some years ago, I think it was actually Athens, it was 2011, somebody said to me, it was actually Sports File Ray who actually said to me, Ray McManus that the Special Olympics is like a good bag of chips. Once you pick it up, you can't put it down and you have to finish it. And it's there's real magic. Yeah. There's absolute magic and so much pride back home with everyone following, and now everything's social media and it's online, but also some of it will be televised. And that's it for Henry's Happy New Year. Thank you so much for joining us on, I suppose, New Year's Day, wherever you are. Happy New Year. And a big thank you to the production team, to Hugh Keenan, to Anne-Marie Kane and Sean Reedy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.